This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. The Eastern Kentucky floods of 2022 claimed dozens of lives and devastated homes, with much of the region still reeling from the damage. A new anthology called Troublesome Rising, A Thousand-Year Flood in Eastern Kentucky, explores how flooding has affected the community and celebrates the strength and resilience of Appalachian people. The Southgate House Revival in Newport will celebrate the release of the book with an evening of performances on September 7th. Joining me now to talk about how people are still dealing with the aftermath of the 2022 floods are Cincinnati's first poet laureate, Pauletta Hansel. Thanks for being here, Pauletta.
Oh, thanks so much, Lucy.
Hindman Settlement School Literary Arts Director, Melissa Helton. Welcome, Melissa.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. And a member of Kentuckians for the Commonwealth, Wesley Bryant. Thanks for being here, Wesley.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Wesley, I think it's important for our listeners to really understand the East Kentucky floods of 2022. Can you talk to us about your community and what happened there? What happened to your home?
Well, I remember it like it was yesterday. It was, for me, it was 17 days of just pure gray. And I can't explain it. That's why I call it the color gray. The community was ravaged. The area I was working at the time, we were not a state-sponsored location. We were a private-funded area. So everything that we got was from people throughout the community and from throughout the United States. And people said that it was like Iraq after the bombs dropped.
And your home was really devastated, wasn't it? I mean, the home where you and your family were living.
Yes, ma'am. I apologize. I care more about the community, so I really don't talk about myself much. But my home was destroyed as well. Floodwaters rose 36 foot. My home was mostly destroyed, though, from the water coming off the mountains and the rain that we got.
Melissa, Hindman Settlement School is such a special place. For those who aren't familiar, tell us about the school and how it was affected by the flood.
We were founded in 1902, and we were basically a boarding school up until the 1970s, and after that we became a nonprofit. And we have four main programs. We do dyslexia and literacy tutoring. We have traditional arts. We do foodways and community gardening, and then the literary arts, which I'm the director of. And the flood came through during the Appalachian Writers Workshop, where we had about 80 people in attendance, about 60 of them on campus when the flood hit. And everybody was able to make it out to safety and up to higher ground. About 12 of the writers lost their vehicles. And when they were able to flee the next morning, we became an emergency crisis shelter. We didn't have electric. We didn't have running water. We couldn't put clean sheets on the bed, but our executive director, Will Anderson, put out a call saying any community members here in Knott County who need a bed can come stay with us. And we had families staying with us who were displaced for weeks and weeks. And we immediately began providing three free meals a day to the community. And we were also a hub for FEMA would come in. University of Kentucky came in to do a vaccine clinic for people who'd been in the water, things like that. And at the same time, we were trying to literally dig ourselves out because we had five buildings damaged pretty bad on campus. And but we also had to do our regular programming because we like provide dyslexia tutoring in area schools that weren't affected by the flood. So we had a lot to juggle at that time.
Pauletta, Melissa just mentioned that the 45th Annual Appalachian Writers Workshop was happening at the time. Were you there at the conference?
I was not there. I often am, but I was watching it via my friends in Facebook at that particular time and began seeing, instead of the wonderful, oh, we're so happy to be here posts, the, oh, my goodness, this is coming in and this is destroying the community posts. So I was in a position of watching it from afar and just feeling such such terror and tension and, you know, of course, compassion for what was happening and helplessness to not be able to help. It's during, you know, during those early days especially. I grew up in Eastern Kentucky, so I knew about floods. I mean, we would put people up every spring in our house that lived closer to the river, but this was different.
When did you finally get to go and see the region in person, Pauletta?
In August. So this happened in July, and in August, thanks to the good work of Hyndman Settlement School, I was able to go down with my husband and a group of other writers to do a little bit of flood relief and to feel connected and you know, in that direct way. But it was so obvious that there would just be years and years of recovery if ever. You know, I think as Wesley can say so much more clearly, that there are ways that recovery will never really happen.
We're talking about the Eastern Kentucky floods of 2022 and what is and isn't happening to continue to support the people there. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or emailing talk@wvxu.org. Pauletta, I talked about this new anthology called Troublesome Rising, A Thousand-Year Flood in Eastern Kentucky. You have a poem in there called Aerial View of Catastrophic Flooding in Eastern Kentucky that I think helps explain a little bit what happened. Could you please read that for us?
Sure, I'd be happy to. And I will say that this is in some ways sort of a continuation of me explaining what was happening with me emotionally and personally. There was nothing I could do but watch via social media. And so I took social media posts from friends and from others who were experiencing the flood directly to create this poem. So none of these words are mine. Aerial view of catastrophic flooding in Eastern Kentucky. Quicksand, Beulah, Neon, Heiner, Martin, Feisty. This was our place in Hueysville. This was my mother's house before she passed. Samantha's sister's house is by that blue bridge. Anyone know anything about Fugit's Fork Road? Stringtown, Ajax, Isom, Pine Top, Dwarf. This is my cousin's house. My mamma's house is on the left. That bridge is about 8 feet above where the creek's supposed to be. Isn't that Mary's house? This is the mouth of our holler. The Red Arrow was our road in. Nick's Branch, Jake's Branch, Trot. If you zoom in to where the white car hood is, my home is there. Rowdy, Wayland, Noble's Landing, Cowan Creek. Oh my God, that is Pigeon Roost. Hyndman, Buckhorn, Chavez, Krypton, Carrot, over toward Pound. Y'all, this is my hometown. This little tree and God kept us alive this morning. My daughter swam with her dog to a neighboring rooftop. Does anyone know anything about Kite, Kentucky? Caney, Possum, Airy, Lost Creek, Hardburley, Trace. Dad and my nephew are neck deep. They need help, please. Are y'all safe? We lost the farm animals and 5 cats. Lost my chainsaw, so I can't even work. You need to understand the nature of the topography. Add to that strip mining, climate change, political neglect. We have lost everything again. We have warm beds, clothes, and toiletries available. We have hot showers and food. Anyone trapped in downtown Whitesburg is welcome to come. We need help, and I'm willing to help anyone in the same shape we are. Your prayers are good, but we need to get federal and state aid ASAP. Don't cry for Appalachia. Work for change, however you can. Let's use the internet to tell our story. Thank you for posting. Much love and many blessings to you all from what's left.
Wesley, you've been advocating so strongly for 2 years now for more help from the state and federal government. What would you like to see elected leaders do? What help do people in Appalachia who felt the effects of this flood, what do they still need?
We need somebody to care, first and foremost. We need somebody that wants to show compassion again, wants to show love. Somebody that can see the future. in us, somebody that wants to see the future in us. Because there's so much recovery, there's so much heartbeat in East Kentucky, but you know you got to want to be there to feel it. And we've been neglected for years now. I understand that you can look in East Kentucky and say, well, why would I want to invest there? There's really not much progress. But there's been so much change these last 2 years that it'd blow your mind. We just need somebody to want to care.
Melissa, talk about what change you've seen since the floods. What kind of help have people gotten?
There's the immediate on the ground help that has been spoken about, people helping each other, organizations here like the Settlement School helping the community immediately. We had a tremendous outpouring of prayers and donations come in. We held a donation center where community members could come and take whatever they need, just wagon loads worth of diapers and food and cleaning supplies, whatever they needed. And those came from near and far. In that immediate recovery time, we were getting 50, 60 packages a day off of Amazon, and monetary donations were coming in. But then also, you know, we had a Columbia Gas employee show up one day and said, I have an hour lunch break, put me to work. And so we had him mopping floors. We had got a phone call from the Dallas, Texas Police Department saying, what can we do? So a lot of the things that have helped the most have been individuals and small organizations. As far as the recovery here at the Settlement School and in Knott County, you know, we're 2 years out and we still don't have because our offices were destroyed. We still don't have our offices. We're inching toward progress. You know, I think we're getting our carpet installed in the new ones this week. But, and it's such a cliche, but it is because it's so true that recovery is not a sprint, it's a marathon. And the ground floor of our classroom building still needs repaired. And so I see that in our community, great things have happened. Federal money, state money, local money, people on the ground, getting their hands dirty. But there's also some places that haven't been repaired or can't be repaired, homes that can't be rebuilt. And so while there is tremendous progress that has happened, it's by no means over.
Wesley, what's your experience been with federal money? I know there have been some studies done questioning whether, you know, rural communities that don't have the big infrastructure that more urban communities have maybe get shortchanged when it comes to federal help.
Yeah, my help has been very minimal. We've been homeless since the flood hit, like many others, and we've followed the FEMA guidelines and we filled out the FEMA paperwork, done it to a T, had numerous lawyers help with it, but yet it's been denial after denial after denial. And then there's another organization. I filled out the paperwork three times for it, and it was one hoop after another after another. It seems to me that there has been some good in my area, in my community. Don't take it as a wrong, but there's been more of a neglect than there has been help. I can tell you numerous people that receive zero case management. I myself have been there included. We stayed in a FEMA camper for 8 months, and the last month we were there, they didn't service the toilet, and it was a pretty gross situation.
Well, yeah, because you've got little kids too.
I do, and the thing about it is they, when we lived in the campers, they would do these safety checks once a week, and you know, a safety check is fine, but what it is they come and they make sure that you keep your camper clean. I had two toddlers. My camper was never clean. And we failed every safety evaluation that they had. And the thing is they, every time that they did it, they would say, you're a failure this time.
That's the last thing you needed to hear, I'm sure. Well,
it drove me.
Yeah. Wesley, you know, Eastern Kentucky is filled with such strong, resilient people. How has this disaster put a spotlight on that?
It's gave us a chance to show that we've changed. I want to share a story with you guys that I haven't really shared with many people. And this story can tell you the progress. My oldest daughter at the time, she was three when the flood hit. And she was very selfish. She was a really selfish child. And she would come up to the center with us. And she sat up there for 17 days. And through those 17 days, she learned. And there was a day up there that she had food. And she offered another child her food. That was the first time in her life that she'd ever offered anyone anything. But she saw people give. And she saw that you had to give. And my daughter's been wanting to change the world ever since then. We have to realize that we can change the future because the future lives in the home with us.
That's a beautiful story. Thank you for sharing that with us, Wesley. Pauletta, this new book that includes poetry that you've written, it's an anthology of the work of Appalachian writers. What does this book mean to you?
You know, one of the things that I'll say about this is that it, Melissa may not want to hear this, but it just reinforces to me what an amazing woman Melissa Hilton is for pulling all of this together and for making it clear, as our organizations do, that Appalachian people and Appalachian artists are resilient and powerful and have voices and can speak for ourselves, and as you know, as Wesley is saying, can speak for each other and help each other. And so to have this collection of material from writers who are so deeply connected to the region and to the Appalachian writers community is such a gift to us and can also allow us as writers to be able to go out and tell this story as we're doing on our event, Troublesome Rising, to tell this story in a way that people who are perhaps more connected to the arts world than to the on-the-ground world of, you know, of social advocacy can experience and can appreciate.
Melissa, tell us more about this event on September 7th. It's called Troublesome Rising, an evening of art and activism. Tell us about the event and what it's all about.
Well, I think the title of it says the heart of it, that we have these organizations that are coming together because they care for and work in and support Appalachia, whether it's our urban centers, our rural centers, whether it's the state of Kentucky and its work in Appalachia. So it's a celebration of artists that are in this anthology. There'll be several of them reading on multiple stages, but also we have musicians that are coming. And the organizers were really careful in selecting the bands and musicians that would be performing, and they tried to support people who had been affected by the flood as a way to make sure that we're putting our money where our mouth is, and that we're caring for people who are affected by the flood. And so there's going to be multiple performances happening. People are going to talk about their organizations. There's going to be individuals giving their flood stories. And we really hope that it not only draws attention to the flood, to these great organizations, to the main issues that Appalachia struggles with and is surviving and thriving, even though we're dealing with it. But it's also a time for us all to get together, to be in community with each other, let loose, have fun, hug each other's necks if we need to cry. So it's going to be a great night.
Wesley, there's been a lot of talk about Appalachia this presidential election year. Of course, Ohio Senator J.D. Vance has roots in eastern Kentucky. What do you think is most misunderstood about the region and its people?
We're a sweet people. We're a hardworking people. And we're a group of people that we're slowly changing. I mean, I admit it, we're behind a little bit. People aren't as progressive as I am or as I would like them to be. But there's a change in Appalachia. There's a spark that's happening. You just got to want to see that light a little bit. And J.D. Vance is about as Appalachian as Kamala Harris is. And I love Kamala Harris, but he don't speak for Appalachia. I don't want people to look at him and think that he talks for me or anyone else. Just give us the chance. That's all I ask.
Pauletta, what do you think's most misunderstood maybe about the region, its people?
Well, you know, one of the things that I would say would be sort of hearkening back to Wesley's story about being told that his family had failed because of the lack of resources around him. And I think Appalachians have been told that for centuries now, that forces that are beyond our control are, in fact, the forces that create failures out of us. And so just the fact that we are still here, including in the urban Appalachian communities in Cincinnati, but that we are still here, that we're making huge differences in our communities and in the world, and that we are able to move forward in the face of all these pressures to keep, to keep communities back, I think shows a strength and a resilience that is totally misunderstood by most of the population who are not familiar with our communities.
Melissa, what are your hopes and dreams for the future of this place you love?
I think what we would all wish for places that we love, prosperity, safety, community, joy, opportunity. There's not just one way to be an Appalachian or a Kentuckian. There's not just one type of Appalachian family or person or life. It's not a monolith. And so to wish for opportunity and safety for all people who want to live here, I'm raising children here and I want them to feel that they are of this place and want to be in this place and carry a love for it wherever their life takes them. And I want that for everybody who lives here.
Well, I've been talking with Cincinnati's first poet laureate, Pauletta Hansel, Hindman Settlement School Literary Arts Director, Melissa Helton, and a member of Kentuckians for the Commonwealth, Wesley Bryant. Thank you all so much for your time today.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
You can find more information about the September 7th event, Troublesome Rising, An Evening of Art and Activism, on our website, wvxu.org. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Asiya Johnson. Technical director today is Ella Rowan. If you miss our program live, you can find Cincinnati Edition wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Lucy May. Thank you so much for listening.